fight.
Blog Talk Radio.
Get it right to the race as a computer buffer. Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the off-ramp, March 3rd, 2022. RIP to Black History Month. Welcome to the off-ramp, the show for the people, by the people that embody the people. It's the show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics, see what's popping in these streets, which is napkin. I ain't got one. I'm on the show. You gotta get a napkin yourself. The show where I don't, we, you know, we rap about the week's mathematics, man. See what's popping in your hood. See what's popping in my hood. Chat about politics, sports, music, weather, whatever you find interesting. The show where me and my folks got together and decided we're tired of having internet conversations. No more internet arguments, right? Internets are for cats, dogs, babies, and racists.
Bots.
You know, if there's something that you're interested in, something that you want to conversate about, then you call in 929-477-3975. You know, you have a real life conversation. We keep the names, we protect your anonymity. Is that the right way to say that? Protect your anonymity by giving you fake names, by giving you nicknames, so that you can express yourself without fear of being fired. That doesn't mean that, you know, having a nickname means that you spew hate. Anybody, yeah, you know, we've been on the show for about full 5 years, probably longer than that. You know, not a lot of hate on the show. We just have good civil conversations. Doesn't mean we always agree.
9 years.
Doesn't mean we all get along. DJ C Siren. Yeah, 9 years with a little bit of hiatus. DJ C Siren might get pissed at y'all and go upstairs and go to bed. But, you know.
After yelling at you.
Yeah, after yelling at you. But, you know, we try to make sure that we have good, fun, live conversation. I didn't do much promotion tonight. In fact, I was home earlier, but I forgot to send it out. Pusha T new video. Made the top 10. That's a Pusha T. So for the offering, if you want to hit us up on Instagram, hit us up on Twitter. We have our own page. I got to be better at checking that. I just don't know how to add like multiple pages to my phone. Shout out to my brother Fad Dude who started all that. I think that's about it. Any other house cleaning items we got to do? DJ T. Tire, welcome to the offering. How you doing?
Doing fine. I'm so happy. I wish you did not have Kanye rap on Diet.
Yeah.
And just dance in the background. It's appreciated. Good evening, everyone.
So Bush's new video, Dot Coke, he said he did it in remembrance of Flavor in Your Ear, Puffy Biggie. And that's where he got the idea.
I can see
that. I think Push is great at being cheap.
Because it is. He looks on the cheapest video.
You know, Pusha doesn't have, like, when you come from the realms of appreciating, like, a Busta video or a Missy video,
right,
where, you know, you can tell that takes some time.
You can
tell it takes some money. Mm-hmm. It takes some real, real effort. Pusha sounds like, and, you know, I could be totally wrong. I have no idea who the man is. Definitely a fan of his music. But will not act like, even though I live in the same area that he lives in, that I know him because I don't. It seems like he says, hey, let's not spend $500,000 on a music video. let's put $100,000 in the budget for a video, spend 10, and I'll keep the 90. And I can't be mad at him. It happens. We got our homegirl PG in the building. PG, welcome to the off-ramp. Week two. You spent like a year
What's
off,
up?
2 weeks in a row.
I know.
Hey. She's back.
It's me, and I don't know what her name.
You got to speak up a little bit. Who, you got another guest with us?
Yeah, we have another guest. We're just going to call her Small Fry.
Hey, everyone.
I don't know if that's disrespectful or not.
It is a little disrespectful, but I'll get behind it.
Well, I mean, are you okay with us calling you Small Fry? Small Fry, welcome
well,
to
Well, what
the
do you want
rent.
To be called?
I don't know who
it
is.
It works.
Okay.
It works.
It works. As long as you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. PG Small Fry, welcome to the offering. How you lovely ladies doing tonight?
We are good.
We are.
Are y'all having like a brunch dinner night? Like, are y'all drinking like bad wine and got like furry slippers on?
It's actually great wine.
We're drinking great wine. We're drinking 19 Crimes.
We had
19
Crimes.
Are y'all drinking the Snoop one where you can put your camera up to it and they move?
We both turned to look at the bottle like, wait, we didn't know we could do that.
Right, we're drinking the Snoop one. We didn't know we could do that. We're about to try.
Yeah.
You gotta do it.
Yeah, get one of you get your camera out, preferably not PG. Small Fry, grab your phone. Turn the camera on the 19 Crime, like the front of the thing, and it should start moving and talk to you.
So you have to go to the website, though.
I think it leads you to the website, does it?
Oh.
I don't know. Well,
you lied. Is he sure?
Yeah, I've done it.
They talk.
Yeah, how much wine have y'all had already? Because that could be a problem.
I mean, we had enough. I like the other one. It was like it's in a rum barrel or something from the same brand. Have y'all had that?
I don't think so. Wine in a rum barrel from 19 Crimes? I think you make it
Yeah,
up.
You saw like the Warden or something.
It might have crossed my path. I am a bit of a wine connoisseur now. I do dabble in the...
Okay.
In the wine. But, well, welcome to the off-ramp. Glad to have you on the show. Let me get everybody else in here. Got my man Blair as always. Blair, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, my brother?
What's up, beautiful people? Glad to be here, man. Thanks for having me on. Have you, Beach Bum Gun, have you told these lovely women in your life, DJ C Siren, PG, Small Fry, that you are not a man of your word? Have you informed them of that yet?
Am I not a man of my word? I mean, I don't know who Small Fry is. I don't know if Small Fry knows me or not. It's one of those things where me and PG have a similar circle, but we also have our own friends outside of each other. So I don't think Small Fry knows me. But, I mean, PG and DJ C Siren both at this point in our lives know that, you know, I mean, I've known PG for 20 years. I've known DJ C Siren for 12.
You do know Small Fry.
Small Fry is a TU alum.
Yeah.
15.
What'd she say? I can't hear it. She got to get closer.
Small Fry is a TU Tiger.
Oh, it's a guessing game now. So she's obviously short.
She is short.
Obviously.
Me.
What tower?
Power. B.
Yeah.
And then actually me and her live together in Millennium.
Oh, hey. Once you said Tower C, I knew she was.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk about we'll go back down to Tower C memory lane a different day. But Blur, I don't know what you're talking about. I am a man of my word for the most part.
Don't get on these airwaves and lie, man. Do not get on these airwaves and lie. It's funny. Because I was listening to this podcast about the Supreme Court. It's a podcast that goes over their cases. And it made me think about you and how you are not a man of your word. I mean, you worse than some of these Supreme Court judges, man. The dude was talking about the Supreme Court and how it is just like the Philadelphia Eagles season. And how if they didn't make the playoffs, people would have been happy about the Eagles season. But you know what happened? They made the playoff, and they got blew out worse than anyone else. And that made me think,
what happened?
You know what? The Eagles did get blown out way more than anyone else.
Let me write it down. Yeah. Right now. I forgot all about it. I ain't going to lie. I forgot all about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think our man, when they just, man, matter of fact, if they had even been within 10 points at all throughout the game, I would have forgot about it. They weren't within two scores the entire game, bruh. The entire game.
You're right. I was wrong. You know, and I'm going to pay that bet. I actually forgot all about it. I just wrote it down. I will make sure I start studying the video and studying the moves this weekend. And I should have.
You got to study the video, man?
I don't remember what the video was. I remember for that one night. I haven't thought about it since.
Oh, man, you know what? You're feeling like the Eagles fans, man. These Eagles fans, man, they ain't good for nothing.
Look, man, I got CTE, bro. I be forgetting stuff. What you want me to do? I got a bad memory, yo. I drank a lot as a kid. That's all I can say.
I hear you. You're a wine connoisseur, man. I'm proud of you. Good job.
Thanks, man. I got my man, New York, in the building. New York, welcome to the off-ramp, my brother.
What it do? How's everybody doing anything?
Oh, you sound real muffled, man. You good?
Oh, yeah. Nah, it's my headphones. I'm going to get my hair cut as well.
Oh, okay.
I'm about to switch my head.
Oh, you good. Well, glad to have you as always. Keep getting fresh and, you know, join us when you're ready. Damn, man, I really do got to do that video for my man, Blur. I forgot all about that, but. All right, man, let's get started. Hey, I'll open the floor since we have our new guest, Small Fry, and PG's back with us. Is there anything particular you two want to talk about tonight?
I don't think we have any topics. No topic.
DJ C-Sire?
Nothing.
No? Blur, what you got before I go? I think last week was all my topics. I'm going to give the floor to you this week.
There's only a few things I would like to talk about, but I want to throw out something nice and easy first. Have any of y'all seen the new Tyler Perry movie, Madea Christmas or something? I got to double check. The newest Madea movie. Has anybody seen it?
Does Madea has a Christmas movie out in March?
No, it's not Christmas. It's something else.
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, I would say don't waste your time, but nah, I'm not going to do that. Y'all should waste y'all time. I think everyone has to see this movie so it can go down for we as a community. I don't know what nationality or what race Small Fry claims or what she identifies as, but I think it's time for us as a black people to come together and then cancel Tyler Perry. I think we got to get him up out of here. We cannot allow him to keep doing this to us.
His most egregious infraction are the wigs that he puts on the actors in his productions. Like, you know good and well your budget allows for a show wig.
Oh, my God. The wigs? Oh, man. And his wardrobe and makeup person, they were in full form on this one. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. It's not just one wig. It was like three, at least three.
So, let me, I got to go back and ask this question. I haven't seen the new one. Man, DJ C-Sire, mute yourself, B. Jeez, who was that? All that phlegm. Definitely not kissing you tonight. All that hot, all that mucus. But let me ask y'all something. So, my experience with Tyler Perry is, okay, when I was dating my very first girlfriend, we were in college, she took me to a this was before Tyler Perry was huge. She took me to see a Tyler Perry play.
Oh.
I enjoyed it.
Which one?
Oh, see, I would have to ask her. I don't know.
They're all
like
the same.
Tyler, what'd you say, Blair?
They're all the same anyway.
Yeah. Tyler Perry's making his around, and it's a smart business move. He was making his way around Black College campuses performing his plays. And so I went and I thought it was entertaining. So I thought it was interesting. He was still doing the cross dressing stuff. But I thought they were interesting and had, I mean, when you're in a room full of Black people, you had the God part of it, songs, and they were entertaining. And then he started making movies. But when I used to see Tyler Perry in the plays, like, everybody thought so highly of him.
Mm-hmm.
But then when these movies started coming out, like, I saw a movie that said, oh, they're kind of like the play, but it doesn't feel as, like, I would think a movie would have more thought and production and a little bit more seriousness. I like the live-action play because you can tell he was playing on it, being live, having fun. Whereas in the movies, you don't really get that feeling. But I thought we all knew what Tyler Perry was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did he get such a bad rap? Are his movies really that bad, or are they just better live?
Can I
speak on that? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you know.
Well, my experience with the first time watching Tyler Perry was a little different than Beach Bum Gun. I was living with my sorority sister, and she actually had the play on VHS. So, or DVD. I don't know. It was probably DVD. So she was like, yo, you gotta watch this. This is so funny. And this was Madea goes to it's one of the earlier ones, but it wasn't the movie. This was before the movies. This was when it was stage plays being recorded and he was selling the stage plays. And I thought it was the worst. I thought it was so bad. I was like, why do you like this? This is not funny. I don't like it. I didn't like it. It was half like the gospel part. I just thought it was awful. It was awful. Whatever the first movie was, I watched it and supported it. So I think I softened up on, like, I mean, because I first was like, yo, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And I kind of changed it. Me and Beach Bum Gun did go to see one of the plays when it was here live, but it was one, it didn't have Madea the character in it.
Right.
It was what's seen in the dark, something like that. So, you know, so I kind of just accepted it as, you know, what Black people like. I'll just accept it for what it is.
But it's entertaining.
I mean, I've never 100% loved it, but you know, I think I just decided to appreciate it for what it was. Like, it wasn't going to be the best production. It wasn't going to be the best, you know. I mean,
I thought the plays were great productions.
Mm.
And when he started making these movies,
Them little mics under the wig, I hated that.
But
shit.
See, I thought that was part of the comedic part.
I thought Broadway, they ain't got no mics
on their wigs. But this is supposed to be, I don't know, I guess I looked at it, this is supposed to be more comedy with a touch of Black love and we love the Lord. Not really, hey, I'm going to put on the best play ever written. You know what I mean? I thought this was a time to come to the theater and have fun.
Yeah. I mean, I just felt, I took it for, you know, it's for the grandmas in the churches. And if grandma in the church think it's good and funny, then I was like, that was just a new, you know, I just didn't think I was part of the demographic. You know what I'm saying? It was for, you know, it was for grandma. And if that's what he reached out to, then grandma can have her, you know, her little stage play and her little fun. So I was like, that's cool. So I haven't seen anything since Why Did I Get Married 2, I don't think, from Tyler Perry. So I haven't watched any movies since then. I've probably watched most of them before then, but I haven't watched any movies since. So I'm a little behind on most of what's going on with what he does. So I want to know from Blur, why do we have to cancel? Like, is this just more of the regular, you know, Tyler Perry usual, or is this, like, above and beyond?
Because Martin's Big Mama House costume is way worse than anything Madea. Especially Big Mama House 2.
It is.
I don't know. I think Martin as Big Mama was better because, I mean, that was, I mean, it had a reason for him being in a fat suit and in a woman suit. Tyler Perry dressing up as an old woman. It had its time. I ain't going for it. The first time I seen it was a recording of the play, probably on DVD, and that was fresh and original. So here we are 20 years later, and he's still doing the same thing. But the reason we need to get him up out of here now, yes, it is a lot of the same. The bad design and sets with the wigs and everything, yeah, that's one. The bad acting, yeah. There's, somebody said it before. It's like we need to start looking at the people who play as Tyler Perry movies the same way we used to look at Netflix original movies. It's like, okay, these are just the straight to DVD, the B movies. Like, these are the actors. Like, there's a certain demographic, a certain category of person who works in the Tyler Perry movies. Not like his main cast, like the Mr. Brown or whatever, but all the other ones who hop in once in a while. You know, Taraji had her run. Shamar Moore did his thing, but all those other people. And then you got the set design. Stuff looks horrible. But what got me on this one, I feel like this dude, Tyler Perry, for the billionaire, however rich he is, this dude went and got, like, Final Cut Pro or whatever free editing software that you can find on the MacBook. And he did the worst transitions between every scene. He was like a 7-year-old who just got his first computer. And I'm sitting there watching this movie like, yo, is he serious? Is he doing this? It would like be a freeze frame and be some comic book stuff where they start removing people out one at a time. And next thing you know, you're looking at a brand new scene in the movie. And this went on for like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, however long the movie was. The movie has entanglement in it. It was like pulled straight from the whole, yeah, straight from the whole Jada Pinkett thing, messing with your son's friend. This dude has been dealing with black trauma for way too long, man. We got to stop this. Somebody's got to put an end to this.
Okay. I got another lovely guest. Look at you women showing out tonight. One of my homies. Probably low-key, like somebody I need to talk to more often because every time I come to her city, she hooks me up with free sports stuff. My NCAA kingpin, welcome to the off-ramp. Do we need to cancel Tyler Perry? You're in Tyler Perry's town.
Yeah, cancel him.
Damn! What's up?
Immediately.
You always start tearing black man down.
No, so, okay, like, long story short, I've never been a Madea fan, right? Like, I think because part of it I just relate to. So, like, when the plays first came out, I'm not the kind of person that's going to go see those plays anyway. But, yeah, like, I watched them on DVD, and there were moments in the plays where, like, Tyler Perry, as Madea, would give, like, great advice. It was amazing. But then I didn't understand the whole, like, just start singing. Because, like, if we're having a conversation and then you just bust out in song, that's a problem, right? Like, to me, that's not, like, normal. But then I felt like from what I've seen or, like, bits and pieces and clips here and there, his storyline has stayed the same for 15, 20 years or however long he's been out. That's how long it feels like he's been out. And those are things that I can't relate to. And not that like you have to appreciate everything that you can't relate to, but like every single thing is like Madea dresses the same. And like, I didn't grow up like that, right? Like, so I first had to figure out what a Madea was, like had to Google that. And then like, as he took off, he kept everything, in my opinion, just like low budget, right? Like, I now besides like the Why Did I Get Married or whatever, I haven't seen anything else in totality. Like, I refuse to sit down and watch like a whole movie or whatever. But like the clips that I've seen, it's like, okay, well, why is she holding the cell phone upside down? Or like, why is her wig so bad? Or like, why is this character dressed like this? Or why are the transitions so bad? You have money now. Like, you're great with giving to the community and doing this and, like, you know, all these things. But, like, why are you not investing that back into your product? There was something that I read that he had finished a movie in, like, a week and a half or something. And you can tell. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, to me, the quality in effects, the quality in acting, the quality in storyline, in which it can be because of where he is now. I would expect some of these things in first starting out, but now he has the reach to people, to money, to resources, and he just, in my opinion, doesn't use them. So I don't think that it does service to us as like black people, as women, you know, for men to dictate who we truly are and how far we've come. I feel like he's stuck in this moment of time and is literally going to play that until, God forbid, he dies. So I thought it's just not funny. Like, it's just not funny. So I'm not a Madea fan. I never have. You're on the
cancer side. PG Small Fry. Do we need to cancel Tyler Perry? Yeah, it's a shame how y'all turned this black man down tonight.
You know, it was that Netflix movie. He had A Fall for Grace, From Grace for Me, when they had a dining scene and nobody at the table had food in their plate or drinks in their cups, and they were just miming eating air with their forks.
What?
Yes. Like, he couldn't even be bothered to put prop food on the plate for a movie, and at that point, I was done. Also, when he switched up that lady's wig in the same scene.
Girl, yes. I saw that on Instagram.
Yes. So he just needs to be stop point because he's playing games, and I'm sick of it.
Oh, man. Small fry?
So you know, I hate to admit it, but I watched Tyler Perry's Sisters, whatever it is, and he did an After the Show special where he asked, people submitted their questions, and they went in on him about how bad it was with the acting, the fighting, the staging, the furniture, the hair, everything. And some things he kind of owned up to and was like, we'll do better next season. Other things, basically his response was, you don't have to watch. And I was like, word, that's what you're going to say? I mean, I'm still watching, but I'm side-eyeing you the whole time. So if you get canceled or people stop tuning in, I'm not going to be surprised because it is pretty ridiculous because we all know you're getting paid. You got the dollars. You can pay these people to make sure people look presentable in the show and realistic. So sometimes it's just like, what is going on here? Was it just the lack of not caring? Did you not have time? I just don't understand. So, I mean, I don't know if I want to go as far as to cancel him because, again, like I said, sometimes I watch and I don't know why I'm watching because it's like a bad accident where you need to look away but you just can't. But it's a mess. It's a mess. Everything that he presents to us is a hot mess.
Oh, man. New York. You know, am I going to be the only one that supported this black man who made waves in Hollywood and turned Hotlanta into the movie capital? New York, you with me or you still getting your haircut?
Nah, get Tyler Perry out of here. I don't even know the actor's name. Was it Shamar Moore or something like that? He had on the worst braid cap I ever seen in my life. What type of wig was that? Other than that, yeah, you gotta get Tyler Perry out of here, yo.
Oh,
So I'm the only one that y'all need to leave Tyler. Yo, I thought it was part. So I guess y'all are saying, I guess because I haven't really watched it, it's not my personal type of entertainment. Like, I don't, make sure y'all watch, mute yourselves, watch y'all background noise unless you're ready to jump in. It's not my type of entertainment. It's a lot of relationship drama. It's a lot of messiness, and that's just not how, I don't find that entertaining, right? So but y'all are saying that watching this, it's visually awful. But from watching the play, I thought that was kind of like the thing. I thought that was done on purpose. But you're saying that he's trying to make nice-looking films, and it's just like there's, I mean, yo, matter of fact, man, all y'all are I'm not going to call y'all Uncle Tom's, but all y'all are fronting, man. The damn show with the dragons had a Starbucks coffee in it. Why can't Tyler Perry have a
No. A prop mix-up is a big difference than somebody's wig. Not even somebody's wig that's been messed up. These are decisions that are made. There you go. That's the big difference right there. These are decisions that are made that he looked at and okayed. Now, this isn't just somebody messing up and forgetting to take a cup off a scene in the background. Nah, he looked at this and was like, Shamar Moore, yeah, those cornrows is perfect for you. Now, your skin don't match that scalp color, but that's cool. Go right ahead. Yeah, this background right here totally looks like cardboard. But, yeah, that's cool. Let's do that. Nah, these are cognitive decisions that this man has made.
Nah, yo, we see Omar Epps play basketball, yo, and they okay that.
Nobody looks at the basketball skills other than you, beach bum guy.
Look, they just had the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air do like a 360 windmill and then like do a layup in the next cutscene. These things happen.
I like to highlight kind of what did you call CIAA overlord?
NCAA Kingpin.
Okay. Like, what she
Shout
was saying.
Shout out to NCAA Kingpin. She hooked us up when we got to Atlanta. She's the one who got us the free ticket.
I know. I figured, yes. Thank you, CIAA overlord.
NCAA. She don't like
you. You're welcome. CIAA is fine, too. I was a part of that, too. So that's fine.
Thank you. NCAA, though. I will step it up. No, I just want to kind of go back over, like, what she was saying, because really, like she said, at first, maybe it was acceptable. You know, Tyler Perry was just breaking into the business. He was doing, you know.
Pusha T's still rapping about coke. Why can't Tyler Perry keep having bad wins?
No, I'm just saying. It was like, yeah, we accept this. We understand there's a budget. We understand that you're not getting Hollywood play. But now it's unacceptable. Now, I mean, there is no reason why you're making a movie in a week or 2 weeks. That's not, like, for quality movies, that's not usual. Like, I mean, there's student films that take longer than that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no reason for it. And it reminded me of them talking about who's in the writing room. And he was, like, bragging that he's the only one that writes these things. Why? Why aren't you hiring, like, more talent to like, flesh out these characters and write a better storyline and make it so it's still funny. It's still, you know what I'm saying? You're still going to connect with the people that you started with, but, like, let's make it a little bit better. So, yeah, and I remember that. Like, why are you bragging about you not having, you know, a writing team? You need a writing team, dog. Like, really, you do.
So are y'all saying that his stuff isn't entertaining anymore, or does it just look bad? Or does it just look cheap?
I'm going to go out on the limb and say it looks bad. And it's not entertaining. Like, you can only go back and forth with the same storyline so many times. Like, it's so predictable. Like, that's the main thing people say. Like, yo, you know a Tyler Perry movie. You know it's going to be this with the dark-skinned dude, and then it's going to be this with the light-skinned dude who come in and save it. And it's going to be the same thing over and over and over again. And even if it was good at some point, it's not good anymore. I would just say, even if it was the first time, if he put out the stuff he's doing now, as the very first time we ever seen Tyler Perry, we'd be like, nah, this ain't cool. What happened, what was cool in 2000 in the black church, is not going to be cool in 2022 on the big screen.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I haven't watched a lot of stuff lately, so I can't. I'll take y'all judgment.
Madea Homecoming. I just spoiled it. I just spoiled it for y'all. But go ahead and go watch Madea Homecoming. It's on like Netflix or something. It's somewhere. He got a check for it, which I'm happy for. He get that check. I mean, the same thing he said in the that little whack Netflix show where he was giving the other dude advice. He was like, F him. I make stuff for my fans, and my fans love it. I'm not doing this for anybody else. I don't know if that's true anymore. That's why I said we got to get rid of him. Now, I don't say cancel because I don't believe there's such thing as cancel culture, but I think us as the black community, we got to stop supporting this.
I mean, Jay-Z's still rapping about drug dealing. Why can't y'all
imagine? And he's still good at it. He's still good at it.
Okay. Well, I guess that's the other thing. If Tyler Perry's not being good at it no more. But, I mean, so, okay. So, Small Fry, you said you watched the recent stuff. Are you not entertained at all, or do you think it just looks bad? Because I haven't seen it, so I'm trying to get the – I'm trying to get the gist of, is it still entertaining, it just looks bad, or is it both?
So, I mean, I'll say, I still tune in to Tyler Perry, and I will say it's like a guilty pleasure because I feel like I shouldn't watch, but I still do, but I judge it the entire time. And anytime someone asks me about it, I'm like, you probably really shouldn't watch, and you're not going to love it. But there will be a part of you that's like, I can't look away. And again, like I said, I judge it the entire time. I wonder, like, why he made these decisions. But I keep watching, and I lose 45 minutes of my life that I'm not getting back, but I still watch.
Okay. All right. Anybody got anything left on Tyler Perry before we move on? God bless that man.
I would also say I think the reason he keeps resurrecting Madea is because if you look at the movies where he plays himself or a man, he's not believable.
Damn.
Like, what's that one where he was like an action, he was like a police officer hunting down like a serial killer?
Yeah. He played not Kiss the Girls, but it's the same character.
Tom
Clancy. Tom
Clancy. Or Mr.
Yeah.
D.
Yeah, right.
Put the dress on, sir.
She just deflected lasers with her pussy.
Who's that, Doja Cat?
Yeah.
It has to be Doja Cat, of course.
So isn't Tyler Perry gay, though? Not that it matters. But, like I thought the cross-dressing thing was kind of like a, I don't know.
He has not claimed.
Is he married?
He has not come out and said that. We all believe it may be true and that he's had beards and things of that nature, but it has not been confirmed that that is the case.
Okay. All right. Well, anybody got anything left on Tyler? Any last comments before we move on? Okay. So, Blair, I'm going to come right back to you, but I do want to talk about, since we're talking about black men that need to be canceled, Kanye. So I watched the first episode of the Kanye documentary. I thought it was entertaining. But I thought that it confirmed everything we know now. Like, Kanye's been crazy for a long time. Well, crazy is a bad term. You never want to label somebody as crazy. But Kanye has been different for a very long time. He's been emotional. What I got from the documentary is that he is out of touch, by the way, most of us think. Now, I don't know if that's part of the genius. I don't know if that's part of any mental issues. Because the problem with me is that I did see a lot of the Twitter stuff. Normally, I don't follow, you know, like if a movie I want to see comes out, like I'm not going to get on Twitter. Make sure y'all watch y'all background noise. Like I'm not going to get on Twitter and search stuff about it. And any spoilers, I can just say, if someone says spoiler below, like I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, I can't read it. I can just ignore it and go on. But the Kanye stuff I kind of read because I was like, oh, it's a documentary. I don't really care if anything gets spoiled. So I read a lot of stuff about him going into the office and playing all his some of his first album singles and people just looking at him crazy. And the stories was like, yo, that when you see it on film, it wasn't like that was the first day he did it. Like, he did it, like, 10 times. And at that point, we were like, yo, the songs are good. but you got to talk to the people who own the place. Like, we can't sign you a deal, which was evidenced by a lot of people. A lot of people like, yo, Kanye, you're hot, we love your music. I got to go convince somebody else to sign you because I don't have that power. But the thing that amazed me most was, I think that, you know, Kanye definitely sought comfort in his mom, which was very evident. You know, when he went to Chicago to do the little rap symposium, which I didn't even know they had rap conferences, which is just crazy. You know, and that dude dropped a diss track in Chicago about him, and then he went to his mom's house. Like, he was all upset. You could tell Kanye didn't want to fight him at all. But, like, he went back to his mom's house, and then he was all smiles. You know, you can definitely tell that the relationship with his mom was definitely a special one. But I felt like his mom talked to him like he was a little slow. Like, I felt like when they saw the conversations his mom was talking to, she was just like, yeah, you know how you think, and you know how you are, and, you know, why wouldn't you buy a house? Like, I felt like she talked to him like she knew something was going on in that brain that was different. I'm not going to call it mental illness. I'm not going to call it crazy. It might be the genius part that I don't have that I don't understand. But I thought it was highly entertaining. But I also thought, oh, he's been an emotional wreck since the beginning. And seeing this new stuff where he's got a video of Barry and Pete Davidson alive, like, I feel bad by saying it, but I'm rooting for Pete Davidson at this point. Like, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, yo, you can't make no video of me being buried alive and we not see each other. Well, I might not even try to fight you. Again, I'm going to send you a video of me kissing your kids goodnight. That's going to be my vengeance. DJ C-Sign, you watched it with me. What do you think of the Kanye?
Like I said, I mean, a lot of people are talking about the third installment right now because it's just been released or was released.
Spoiler alert.
But with the first, we just watched the first one. I can't spoil it. I haven't seen it. It's not surprising. I mean, I think seeing Kanye at that point in time in his career is basically exactly what I thought it would be or how he would act. It just makes me a little sad because I feel like that it's kind of a fork in the road, you know. And like I said, I mean, if you listen to College Dropout, if you listen to him ramble at the end, which was one of my favorite parts about him and trying to get the, you know, get signed and all that stuff. Like, when I heard it at first, I was like, oh, my gosh, y'all didn't, you know, they didn't believe in Kanye. But it's like when you kind of see it this side, it's like, oh. Especially when you're saying, you hear the behind the scenes, like, it's not quite like that.
Right.
And it's like, but you could see that Kanye saw it like that.
Yeah.
And, like, he saw the side that he really talked about because he just didn't see that that's not quite how things work. It wasn't that we didn't like you. It wasn't that we didn't like the song. It's not that we wanted to hear Jesus Walks and we were going to sign your deal the next, you know, that minute. Like, it's just not how it works. And you don't understand that. But that, you know, so, and his relationship with his mom, which I think we already knew that was basically, you know, like we always said, was his foundation in rock and basically, but yeah, she definitely, I was telling Beach Bum Gun, I just thought it was she acted a little odd to me. I haven't seen many interviews with her, you know, later in his life. I think they did do a couple of them that she, you know, had talked about before she died, you know, a few years before she died. But seeing her at this point, I was like, I don't know if she was talking that way because that's how Kanye understood things, or she talked odd to me. Like, the conversation she had with Kanye, and I don't know if it's because they were being videotaped, I don't know, but just how she spoke to him, and maybe because she was a teacher, I don't know what it was, but I was like, it's just that conversation, I just have never been witnessed, I've never witnessed a conversation between a parent and child at that point. I don't know. It was just weird.
I have, and children were in the classes in the basement. Blur. Did you see the I love those. Those are some of my friends. Blur, did you watch it?
Yeah, man, and I think I may have gotten something totally different from you and DJ C. Siren. Like, yeah, I do agree. Like, it does confirm, like, Kanye has always been Kanye. Up until the point, like, the stuff he's doing now, like, you know, not necessarily slavery with a choice, but I could see how that person could say something like that. Like, the stuff with Pete Davidson, I think, is just, you know, that's just him doing stuff for marketing. I don't really think any of that's real to begin with. I do think he wants his family back and he wants to be with Kim, but I think Pete Davidson is just, you know, hey, I got to market something. I got to put on a show, so you're going to be part of the show. But as far as the doc, I mean, yeah. I think he is that way, and he is the way he is because he had to work so hard. Everybody has to work hard, I guess. But, like, the amount of belief you have to have in yourself and what you're doing, like, that's what I think I saw in the doc. Like, yo, people were messing with him because, I mean, obviously in the doc he's already – producing for Rockefeller, and he's in the same room with Scarface and who was it? Was it Ludacris and Pharrell? So he's in these rooms with them, but he's in there as a producer. And I understand it's him. He's doing the editing. He has control over editing. So maybe there was somebody who did believe in him as a rapper. Like we saw the one A&R for Raucous Records was like, yeah, you're right in between the street stuff of Rockefeller and the backpack stuff that we're doing over here at Raucous. You're kind of that lane. You're kind of bridging the gap between the two of them. So somebody had a vision for them. But the way it's presented in the documentary, not many people did. And I know Wayno came out, was like, yo, yeah, he did that a lot. Came up in there playing his stuff. Did you hear the song? I'm going to tell you like this. The first time I heard All Falls Down, I called my mother. How many times have you ever heard a song and you just pick up the phone and call somebody? I was like, yo, mom, you got to hear this. So if I'm in an office, if that's my job to find people and to find music, even if it's not my job, I'm like, yo, let me walk you over here to play this for somebody whose job it is. I don't care what Hov got coming out. Yeah, that's cool. We already working on it. That's coming out. This need to be the next thing that come out. Dame is signing people left and right. We need to make sure we get you in the room with Dame. Yo, Dame, I don't know if Kanye played this for you, but yeah, you need to go ahead and put this on paper because if nothing else, we need to own this song. And for them to just be like, all right, yeah, we heard it. It's good. We gotta get this Cameron single out. I heard that song. I was like, yo, this is the future of music.
But that's what these A&Rs were saying. Like they did tell Dame and them, and Dame was like, we'll think on it. And at that point, you can't do nothing.
But you can. But you can. If he's still having to come in here and play it for everybody, you can. Like, I heard on the one podcast, the main chick, who she like, yo, cut the camera off or whatever, and she took the call in the middle of listening to it. She like, they said that was her job. She was responsible for that. She did marketing and stuff and was like getting the new songs or whatever. I'm like, yo, if this is your job or whatever, like, what are we putting behind this? How are we getting this out under Rockefeller Records? Because clearly you're responsible for finding new stuff, and you heard the song, so you got to know that this is the future. I know we're doing all this hard stuff right now. We got Hov doing his stuff. We got Beans doing his stuff. We're about to put out State Property, which is, you know, going to be the soundtrack for every corner across America. We got Cameron doing his Dipset stuff. But you can hear this, right? You hear that this is kind of the future of music because that's your job. I know it's me as a college student. When I heard that, I was like, yo, this is it. This is the future right here.
I don't understand something, though. If these people are saying, yo, we did hear it, we presented it to Dame, we presented to Jay. You see, he wasn't walking in the meetings with Dame and Jay. He was walking in the regular people's offices. And they were like, yo, they heard the music. If they wanted to sign him, that was up to them. It's not us. We can only find the music and present the music, and it's up to somebody else to sign them because we don't own these companies. He wasn't barging in those people's office who own companies. They can't.
Yeah, so you could only get in the – you only get in the office that you could get into, and they said that actually before, that it was a, like, there was a front part of the office and there was a back part of the office, and, like, he was in the front offices. That said, I'm like, yo, you take it, like, yo, come on, let's go, like, yo, you still playing this. Let's see if Dame is ready to move on it. Like, yo, Dame, you heard this? We got to move on it. I got the marketing plan for this. I already got some budgets. I looked over the numbers. We could put this on this radio right now. I done contacted, I don't know, DJ Drama or somebody. We could go and get this leaked online tonight. We got to get behind this.
I think you're making stuff up when people got employers, yo. Because if your boss tells you, "Hey, I heard it. I'll let you know if I want to do something with it," then you leave your boss alone, because you're going to do, all you're going to do is piss your boss off if you interrupting his meetings. Because Kanye
not if
your
you
office,
got the next diamond record. Not if you have the next diamond record.
It doesn't matter with you, because you're not getting paid off commission. You got a salary. I mean, we can go back and forth and argue that. Let me get other people's opinions. PG, Small Fry, did y'all watch the Kanye doc? What did y'all think of it? Because me and Blair differ.
So I watched it. I watched, I think, what, the first two episodes, and I was intrigued. I definitely want to watch the next one. But as I've kind of watched Kanye recently, I'm like, yo, I feel like we need to really be concerned. And on one hand, we're all entertained, laughing, like, oh, he's, like, crazy. But I'm really like, what's going to happen when some shit really pops off? We're like, yo, he put this out there for the whole world to see, and we were chuckling, and now, like, shit's popped off. Sorry.
Okay. PG?
I still haven't had a chance to watch the Netflix special. But when we're talking, introducing the topic, I wanted to know what everyone thought about, like, his new video with him, like, decapitating and burying Pete Davidson's likeness.
I mean, I want to know what would Jesus do, but we'll get back to that in a second. NCAA Kingpin, did you watch the Kanye doc? Have you had a chance? Or you've been traveling the world? I saw you out there All-Star Weekend. I ain't going to put your business out there, though.
I might have been pleased. I have not watched the documentary, and I don't know that I will. And I don't dislike Kanye, right? Like, I think I feel for him, because there is, like, a legit, there's a problem, right? There is a problem. And so this summer, I went to both of his album release parties here in Atlanta, and, or listening parties or whatever, and, like, I have never been in an abusive or toxic relationship, so I can't, like, speak on that. But the confusion for me came because both of them, like, Kim Kardashian was there, like, the kids were there. I don't have kids either, so, like, I can't speak from, like, a motherly perspective. But I think there's one thing is, okay, I'm going to send the kids with the nannies or, like, aunts or uncles or whatever to support their dad. Cool. But you're there. Like, you're taking pictures. You're in the show. So at what point doesn't this benefit you anymore? Right? Because, like, you played the part for so long. I'm not saying you deserve to be, like, dragged in public and, like, your business put out. I'm not saying any of that. But, like, now that it's not good for you, what's up? You know, like, and I would be curious to know if behind the scenes, like, Christian, are you trying to get this man some help? Like, Kim, are you really fighting to get this man some help? Because from what we know as an audience, like, we saw how, for instance, it seemed as Chloe stuck by Lamar at his worst, right? Or, like, you know, these women have never put out that they've had, like, bad endings or whatever with people they've dealt with. So, like, are you not only you, but the people around, are you all doing what you can to ensure the safety of Kanye? And I think, like, yeah, he's an entertainer, but he's also a human. And granted, he's growing. He's going to do whatever it is that he wants to do. But, you know, is it wise right now to even release that documentary? Because it's so contradictory to, like, what's going on in real time versus this doc. So then it leaves this confused, like, air about him altogether, right? Like, so wait, should I rock with him? Should I not? Because from the clips that I've seen, hella inspiring.
But, like, in the very next newsflash, the man is, like, drawing Marvel posters. I'm like, what side are you on, right? Like, so I don't know if y'all saw that poster that he made, and it was, like, basically like the Avengers on one side and, like, DC Marvel on the other. Just, what? Like,
no,
what?
I haven't seen that.
Listen,
I gotta check it out.
It is hilarious. Because it was like when I guess when Kid Cudi was still saying he's friends with Pete, so Kanye was like, two besides you're gonna be on, and he like legit had a poster made, and it had like him and Pete and Pusha T, like his people versus, you know, the others. But then like 7 days later, here's this super inspirational documentary. Like, well, can somebody on the team say, okay, not right now, right? Like, Doc is great, but what is that going to do to your ultimate legacy? Because it's so back and forth. And I don't know that we can just ignore these outbursts. And not in a judgmental way, but, like, I think if we come in and praise him too soon in the midst of all of these, like, moments of rage and instability, it might lead him to believe his behavior is okay, and it's not.
Okay. New York, New York.
I mean, I haven't – I don't got a lot to say because I haven't even seen the documentary, but I do respect him as a artistic person, artistic genius. But that's all I got to say until I see the documentary. I mean, I think he's spiraling right now. I mean, shit, he lost Kim K, you know what I mean? He lost Kim K to Pete, you know what I mean? Shit, he's spiraling right now, but other than that, I do respect him as an artistic genius.
Has anybody seen or remembers that video that was circulating the internet maybe a couple years ago? It was a dude, he was in his ex-girl house, and he was arguing with her new boyfriend. The new boyfriend was mad tall. This was a short dude. And he was like, yo, I don't care what your name is. This is my girl. This is my wife. You see those pictures? Those are my kids. That's my mother-in-law. This is my family. We going through something, but this is still my family. And the dude was just, like, backing down from him. I'll put it in the text if I can find it. I feel like that's what Kanye is going through now. Like, he didn't lose his wife to Pete. He lost his wife to himself because he was doing dumb stuff. Now, he's come out and said that. He was like, yeah, I was wilding. I was doing things without thinking, and I embarrassed my family. When he's talking about how that he wanted to abort the baby, he's like, yo, I shouldn't have said that. I didn't talk to my wife about that. I shouldn't have said that. That's not just my story. That's her business. That's our kid's business, and I shouldn't have put that out there. Like, so he's recognized that he's done some things wrong, and he said things without talking with the whole slavery was a choice thing. He tried to backpedal and clear that up. I mean, I think he feels like he has to be in the news and always on, so he gets caught up saying things that he will have to backpedal and apologize for. That said, I don't really think he's spiraling. I ain't gonna say I don't think nothing's wrong with him because he said he's bipolar or whatever. He takes medication or he's on and off his meds, so clearly there's something chemically off. I just think this is Kanye. He had the fight to be taken serious as a producer. Then he had the fight to be taken serious as a rapper. Then he had the fight tooth and nail to be taken serious as a designer. And now he's like, yo, I have so many other things, like building communities and compounds and, you know, saving the world. And I think he may be trying to do too much, which I think is what I think he's trying to get everything out right now, which is why he's like, again, I don't want to say spiraling, but why he's like, always all over the place. I think he's trying to do too much. But if everything you've tried, you were told no and you were being blocked, and it turns out you were right. Hey, I had to fight to be a producer, selling beats for $50, $500. Turns out I'm one of the best producers of all time. Nobody wanted to take me seriously to be a rapper. Okay, I had to put out one of the best albums of all time, one of the best discographies of all time, one of the best rappers of all time. You have to put me in that conversation now. No. Hey, they didn't want to take me seriously in fashion. I'm one of the best fashion designers, fashion moguls right now. I'm trying to build communities, run for president. Nobody want to take me serious. I got to keep fighting, got to keep doing it, because every time somebody tell me no, not only do I prove it wrong, I come out and I'm becoming one of the best to ever do it. And that's how he's looking at it, because he hasn't been wrong yet.
He ain't. He shouldn't consider himself one of the best rappers ever.
Mm-mm.
he's not even. Yeah, I wouldn't put him in top 50.
Does he have one of the best discographies of all time?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I mean, so does.
I mean, he's a rapper, and he has one of the best discographies.
You got to let me finish. I mean, there's a whole lot of. There's Beyonce has one of the best discographies of all time, but I wouldn't classify her as a top 50 singer. But, I mean, that's a side note. We get to that. We can get that. I just don't – I mean, when it comes to rapping ability, I just don't think Kanye's in that class at all. But, I mean, he does have – when you're talking about discographies, he might be top two or three, top one, two, or three. He does have a great discography. Just because you make great music doesn't mean you're great at rapping. Pat Papoose is great as rapping, but he doesn't make great music. But, I mean, it's a lot to unpack with Kanye at, since everybody didn't see the documentary, maybe we'll revisit 1, 2, and 3 next week if y'all get a chance to catch up. But,
Hey, if y'all watch it, look at it from this point of view. Just look at how much stuff he keeps overcoming. And the first doc, it goes up from the start up until the time he gets his Rockefeller chain. The second one, I think, is, like, after that, through the car crash, he was trying to get his album out. And, like, he just keep overcoming obstacles. I don't think if you want to keep overcoming all those obstacles, if you're going to all of a sudden change up and be like, you know what, these people are right.
But you can't – but this is – but, I mean, now he's talking about – like, I mean, but what are they right about? Like, he's acting like a terrible human being. Like, he has another woman, and he's screaming that he wants his wife back. That's disrespectful to the woman he's with now. If you wanted your wife back, she told you, hey, I understand you go on this Christian route, but I don't want to cover up my body. You can't force her to cover up her body just because you chose the – because at first you wanted the high sexified woman, and then you got her, and now all of a sudden you want to find Jesus, and you want her to put on a burqa. No, you don't get that right. She's her own person and her own business. Now you out here wild in the streets, and she got tired of it, and she left you. Now you want to start making videos of burying people? I thought you found God. Like, what is it? Like,
God buried plenty of people.
Who?
God buried plenty of people.
But Kanye ain't God. I mean,
hey, like you said in the doc, who, I told you who I thought I was. I think I'm a God.
Well, then he is. See, now I think he's retarded because he got in a car crash. Look, I'll tell you the biggest surprise of the documentary to me, I thought his face was fucked up because of the car crash. They showed his baby pictures, like his bottom of his face been like that since he was a kid. I was shocked.
Angle for he do have a weird jaw structure. Yeah. I mean, you know what? You talked about his mom. I do think that does play a part in it because he was paying for the surgery, like I think it was cosmetic surgery that she was getting when she died. So I do think that has a real big part in it. Like, yo, my biggest supporter, the person I never had to fight with to have my back, is now gone, and I'm partly responsible for it. So, yeah, I ain't going for it. That probably does have a lot to do with it.
Okay. Anybody got anything left on Kanye before we move on? How much time we got? We got about 40 minutes. We're making good time. Let's try to revisit NCAA, PG. New York, let's try to catch up next week, man, and discuss it. Because I think it's done really well.
Cool, I can do that.
Cool. All right, we'll revisit Kanye next week. All right, Blur, what's your next topic?
All right, so you know what? I don't want to get too deep, but I got to bring this up. I know it's only me, and I think only me and DJ C. Sire, you know, the only, I mean, black people who held our people down and went to HBCUs, but... My alma mater,
no,
Grambling
no,
State
no.
University. Oh, we got another one?
Yeah, I went to Johnson C. Smith. So I went to the HBC.
Charlotte.
My people.
My people. See, I'm not even going to start on y'all black school people. Go ahead.
So my school, my alma mater, Grambling State University, one of the most well-known and respected HBCUs of all time. We just got a new head football coach, former NFL black coach. The first thing he does is he hires a white assistant coach. That white assistant coach, Art Briles, was fired from his last job in disgrace because it was a sexual assault scandal. No, it was a scandal. It was a sexual assault scandal where players on his team were accused of sexually assaulting a lot of girls, co-eds on campus, accused of rape. A few of them got indicted. One of them is in prison now, serving 20 years. So the coach got fired. The AD got fired. I think even the president resigned from his old school. White man. And then we bring him in to Grambling State University to be our assistant football coach. Now, he has since resigned. He was only hired for 4 days. All the backlash came out. He resigned. I just want to see what anybody else thinks about that. Should that, like, was we wrong for the backlash? Was he right to be hired? Should he got hired at HBCU? What y'all think?
NCAA, I'm going to go to you first.
Because if another white school wouldn't have hired him, why would we have hired him? Right, as an HBCU, like we can't be your saving grace. That's not fair. And like I think about, for instance, it burns up in a sense. Like I don't think that it was a good hire from the jump. Right, like coach knew that that was going to catch backlash, and that's something that you just can't win against that. But if a white school, PWI, did not pick him up, why, as an HBCU, would you? Like, why would you, all the other coaches, not even black coaches, black, white, whatever, for him? And I'm not saying that, like, I don't know Coach Riles personally. I'm not saying he's a bad dude. I can't speak on that. But I don't think, especially in the climate of today, that it was the best move, right? So in my mind, like, well, what did you expect by trying to add him to your staff? Like, it was already historic for Hugh to be hired, like, great things going. Like, Grambling is a great university, but I don't know that that hire was a reflection in the program that he is trying to build. And so I think from jump, it to me, it just wasn't smart. So many times white coaches get a pass for everything, right? Like Bobby Knight, Rick Pitino, like all these guys. But I just keep going to the fact, if no one has picked him up since then, why would you do that? Right? Like, I don't agree with that. I don't think he ever should have been hired. I don't think that would have been a good look for Grambling's program, because I don't feel that Grambling would have gotten press off of the players and, like, what they're striving for and how the program's rebuilding and all these things. It would have been constantly about art.
Okay. New York, I know you're not big into sports, but I'm going to go you just in case you have any comment before I, you know, because I've had this discussion, so I want to make sure everybody gets a chance. New York, you got anything on this? Or you have no idea what we're talking about?
I have no idea, but this is a teachable moment, so I'm going to be quiet on this one.
DJ C. Sire, do you have any idea what we're talking about? Well, yeah,
I just heard what it was. I didn't know before now, but I don't really have. I kind of agree. I mean, what I'm saying, it's just I don't know. I want to listen to people that are a little more informed what opinion about it, since it is a coach. So.
Okay, PG, Small Fry, do y'all have any idea what we're talking about before I have this discussion basically with Blur and NCAA? Is everybody else tapped out?
No. No, but was Art molesting the girls himself, or it just happened, like, under his watch?
It happened under his watch.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like maybe somebody can pick him up as staff, but it sounds like there might be some qualified, just as qualified and less controversial hires that could have been made. So it sounds like it was probably poor judgment selecting him.
All right. What's up, DJ Cesar? He asked me if I need something. Oh, we might as well put the food down because we're about to have a conversation. Yeah, sure. Yeah, anyway, so, okay. Was it a bad hire? Yes. Art Briles was accused of basically ignoring a bunch of complaints when it came to sexual misconduct with his football players that affected, you know, a bunch of girls on campus. So should he have been hired? No. Simple answer. No, he shouldn't be hired. He honestly shouldn't. See, and that's tough for me. To say he should never coach again is tough because he was accused of some things. He was never found guilty. He didn't get in trouble. But I just heard recent – I just went through a whole other story about how Rick Pitino and Bill Self was hiring Adidas guys to get these high school kids, and the guys under them went to jail and nothing happened to the head coaches. It doesn't mean that the head coaches aren't guilty of something. But the reason why you hire this white guy at this black institution, because Hugh Jackson is a competitor, right? His competition right now at Grambling is Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders is getting a lot of recruits, getting a lot of attention down in Jackson State as an HBCU. Grambling wants to get back into that mix. It's a historical program with a lot of used to get a lot of talent for football and had a great story program, and he wants to bring that program back to prominence. He's a competitor. So what do? You hire the guy who can make – who's an offensive genius. I mean, as bad as a leader, it's one of those things that's like Kanye. Like, Art Briles might be a terrible leader. You know, when someone comes to him, he might be like, yo, I'm not trying to worry about this. I'm focused on this. His offense are undeniable. He turned Baylor into a powerhouse. He made RG3 a Heisman Trophy winner. Top pick in the NFL draft. RG3 had – what? Oh, the kid? Yeah, I didn't realize it was this late. He made RG3 and, you know, made him a high pick in the draft, a Heisman candidate, like something that, you know, like Art Briles is the truth when it comes to offense. And it gets embroiled in a scandal. He's out of work. And Hugh Jackson looks like, hey, I can get this white genius for cheap because no one else wants him. It's honestly a smart move. You just have to worry about the backlash. Can you withstand the public pressure? Because in Hugh Jackson's defense, he can say, hey, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in football teams that head coaches don't know about. Now, I don't know if he can prove that Art Briles knew about this stuff. There's a lot of stuff from the FBI that says he knew. Art Briles said he didn't cover up nothing. He didn't get charged with nothing. He didn't cover up nothing. So at this point, it's about who you believe. But Hugh Jackson looked at this as most smart people who do in the stock market. I see a real good commodity at its lowest point, and I'm going to buy it. And I'm going to bring him in, and we're going to have an offensive juggernaut. Because, honestly, there's no one else you can bring in right now to Grambling that Grambling can afford, that can do what Art Briles can do. That isn't because he's white. It's just what he's proven that he can do. Now, maybe there's some young offensive talent out there that is cheaper on the same level that I just don't know about, but most of these guys who are, you know, football lifers, stay in the boardroom, come up with all these different schemes, you know, they're in the high-paying NFL, high-paying Division 1A jobs and already taken, they're already head coaches somewhere. Like, there's people who are paid to scout for these people. I honestly understand what Hugh was thinking, but you can't hire somebody that's been a part of so many rape allegations. But, Blur, I'll come back to you, and we had this discussion. You know, Bill Belichick and Urban Meyer coach Aaron Hernandez, who was out here having gay sex and killing people.
Why do you say that together?
So what's the difference? What?
Why did you put those two together?
It was in the documentary.
What does his gay sex got to do with him killing people, man?
He killed somebody that he was having gay sex with. Didn't he? Or I haven't seen the documentary.
No.
Aaron Hernandez. Are you sure?
Yeah, man.
I got to go back to the documentary. My bad if I was factually wrong about that. But I haven't seen the documentary in a long time. My bad.
But I'll say this.
Why
is
the next part the scary part, not the killing people? Go ahead.
So I'll say this about Art Briles and Grambling. You're absolutely right. Dude is an offensive genius. And, yes, he would have done, I think, a good job at Grambling, which is when I first – when you first talked about it, I said, yo, the scandal I can kind of deal with because I do believe everybody deserves a second chance. And he didn't do anything. Not that he didn't do anything. He didn't rape anybody. He didn't molest me. He looked away, which is bad. But he's not going to be the head coach at Grambling, or he wasn't going to be the head coach at Grambling. So it's not going to be up to him to look away. It's going to be up to Hugh Jackson. It's not – everything doesn't fall to him. So maybe he's a bad leader. He still be a great offensive mind. He sent a lot of people from Baylor to the NFL, not just RG3, because I think RG3 would have made it in under almost any system. The quarterback after RG3 also got drafted. He made Baylor a powerhouse for offense. Undeniable. But my biggest thing, and I hate to say that because it's hard to put, like, the race thing above the whole sexual assault thing. I just think that, again, everybody's responsible for their own actions. He didn't tell nobody rape anybody, so I don't think he should be punished as harshly for that. Again, as a leader of men, and you go to somebody's house and you say, hey, send me your kid. I'm going to watch over him. I'm going to protect him. And they end up doing 20 years in prison. You drop the ball somewhere.
But most coaches don't tell parents. Most coaches tell their parents' kids, I'm going to watch over. And then they lead the kids to years of surgeries and concussion and all types of stuff. Yo, man, stop having faith. These parents, and maybe it's just because I play college football at a high level, these coaches ain't watching over your kids. They're not. They try.
Hey, you should have went to an HBCU. We would have watched over you.
That's a lie. Now, you make me know that.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
He might have watched over you. Hey, I'm just saying.
No, it's a lie.
Eddie Rob made sure his players went to church on Sunday. I mean, he was watching over people. I'm just saying that.
No.
That's not all issues. Thank you. Go ahead, NCAA. I'll let you tell them.
I've worked with football all my sporting career. That's a lie, right? Like, it's a gimmick, and I think coaches have good intentions, but, like, you're not watching 80 people, and at the end of the day, you try to protect yourself to win. But I think in this case, like, I'm all about second chances. I'm all about forgiveness. I'm all about redemption. But the biggest thing that just stood out to me, because oftentimes, I think people tend to look out for their own, whether it's intentionally, unintentionally. I think it's a natural thing. And I don't want to, like, assume that, you know, everyone is called to the same persuasion. But if the white people did not hire that man back, why? Because usually there's so much that's been overlooked, right? To me, that was alarming. And I looked at the fact that it took Hugh as long as it did to get back into the game, you know, for the issues and things that he had experienced in Cleveland and other places. You could have as much respect for Art as you want, but what is that going to do to my legacy, right? Like, some things I just can't come in here and be like, healer, savior on. And in this case, it truly shifted the look, I think, when it came to HBCUs for a second, because we're already under a microscope, right? Now, you know, we're starting to get some recognition for some things. You got the top 25 kids committing and everything else. We don't have the window of error to make that other institutions can. And in this case, to me, the hiring of Art just wasn't wise, right? Maybe it would have been okay in 4 or 5 years when, you know, under Hugh Grambling is doing amazing and people aren't really, like, magnifying everything the program is doing. But when you have so much change and so much newness, people are going to constantly be looking. You know, and you have to think, okay, how is this hire going to affect my alumni support, or how is that going to assess the relationship we have at the university or the community. There's a lot you have to get through in that first year as a new or transitioning head coach, and your staff is a great part of that transition. And so I just don't think it was wise in this season, for lack of better terms, to name him, because that's one of the first things you did, you know, in your new reign, when you didn't even get your foot in the door good enough. And like, sure, you have a great background, great coach, like all the things, but he's on a very tight rope right now because it's, you know, his first 100, 200 days. And I don't know what it is, but it just sits in my spirit. Like, if these white schools did not hire Art back for that, and
look, white people don't care about each other. They invading Ukraine right now. That's white on white crime.
They don't, but they'll look out for themselves, right? Like, they'd hire him quicker than they would hire a Hugh, right? Like, so when Hugh was out of the NFL, another white school didn't pick him up. So I don't understand that, but I just don't think the hiring of Art to start was a wise choice.
That was my point as well. Hugh Jackson was just on TV, the interwebs, talking about how other black coaches don't have a black coaching tree. And then the first thing you do at your newly appointed HBCU job is bring in a white coach for a prime position. So, like, that's what I was saying. It's like, I hate to put, like, the race issue above the sexual assault allegation issues, but that was actually a bigger deal for me. It's like, yo, you try to recruit a white player as your first recruit, then the next thing you do is you bring in a white offensive coordinator. Like, you was just talking about how black coaches don't have a black coaching tree, and then you do this. So I think that was just, like, a really bad look. And then this is the white coach you bring. I understand that's your friend. I understand he's a great offensive mind. But, yeah, you gotta like, pump the brakes just a little bit. Like, you know what? Not yet. Now, there are reports that Art Briles has had interest from other schools. Maybe there are schools smaller than Grambling. Now, maybe some other HBCUs. Believe it or not, we don't have the biggest budget, but I think the SWAC has a higher budget than the MEAC and some other conferences out there. So, I mean, we might have just been the best offer coming from a friend who probably was like, yo, I'm going to help you get reestablished, and you can go find something somewhere else. So I can understand why he wanted to take the job, but there are other schools – at least sniffing around, who have interest in him.
I mean, okay, we ain't gonna sport this all out, but I mean, whoever said that, I just looked it up to be sure, because I was like, hold on, that's not true, yo. Dennis Green has one of the best coaching trees of all time, and we're not gonna sport y'all out. I'm just like, when you first said that, bro, I was like, hold on, yo, as far as black coaches, Dennis Green got a top five coaching tree. But, you know, I just want to throw that out there. I got my brother Blue Mile on the line. Blue Mile, welcome to the off ramp. How you holding up tonight?
Good.
Did you want to comment?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I've been on the ground. What's happening? I don't know what we're talking about here.
Oh, okay.
All I heard was about my coaching tree.
Oh, yeah. You missed the whole talk of it. You can catch up with us on the next topic. Does anybody got anything left on Art Briles being hired and then fired at the Great Grambling State University? No? All right. So we got about 20 minutes left. That was Blur's topic. I got two different topics. I guess we'll go with the weirdest conversation. So I got a phone call. I got a phone call the other day, and the question was, if someone is thinking about having sex with a man, are they gay?
Yes.
My my response was, yes, you're obviously attracted to a man. It's either gay or bisexual. It's a man. 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 This is because these guys were calling me, and they were like, yo, because the conversation was, if you're thinking about having sex with a man but you haven't done it yet, are you gay or are you gay once the moment you have sex with a man? So I said, well, you know, if you're a kid and you're attracted to a girl just because you're a virgin, you know, you're still a heterosexual. You're just a virgin. He was like, well, he's had sex with women, but now he's thinking about having sex with a man. I'm like, well, then he's bisexual. He's attracted to a man. So, but then I was told that that's not true. You're only gay the moment you committed to act with a man. So I just wanted to go around the room and see if I was bugging. DJ C5, when are you gay? And there's nothing wrong with being gay. It was just a funny conversation I thought we could discuss.
I think if you're thinking about it, you're pretty good. We can go on and just say, you're pretty good. You're gay. You can't be having daydreams about having sex with, you know, with any particular person and then not claim that. Like, no. If you're having sexual fantasies about having sex with a particular person, and if that person is of opposite sex, then you can go on and say you're gay. Whether you act on it or not, no. I mean, no. You're gay.
All right. New York.
Yo, if you considering being gay, you gay.
So what if they gay and then they change their mind? You still gay?
I think at that point you bisexual, right? But I mean, you still like men, so at the end of the day.
Yeah, you gay? Oh, man. Yo, Blue Ma, what in the hell are you doing? PG, when are you gay? I think it's a funny question.
I think you're gay when you say you're gay. Like, you can be gay and you haven't started having sex with men yet that you plan to, or you know that you are. I don't know. I think that you're pre-gay.
You're pre-gay. Small fry, when are you gay?
I mean, I will say, I feel like I can see women and see they're attractive, but I'm not trying to do anything with them. And I feel like if that's the case, then where there's like some sort of attraction where you are interested in that, then that's what you are. That's what's happening right then and there.
So it doesn't matter if you commit to act or not, just what you're attracted to.
Yes.
Okay. Blur?
I mean, I hate to say it like this, but I think I might need a little bit more info. Like, so he's just romantically into, like, he's not doing this for money or something, right? He's thinking about sleeping with a man because he likes men, right? So I think that's what you're saying. He likes men, or he likes this one particular man, and he's thinking about having sex with him. Then, yeah, I think you're gay. You don't have to have sex to be gay. You just have to be attracted to men. You have to be a man attracted to other men. Now, you switch it up a little bit. It's like if he has sex with that man and he don't like it, then he's still attracted to other men? I feel like he is. I think he's gay, or at least bi. But, yeah, he's not straight, quote, unquote. Yeah, I don't think you have to have sex. I think once you're attracted to the same sex, you're gay.
So hold on, what do you mean by the money aspect? What were you saying before? Is he doing it for money? What you mean by that?
Well, he just said he's thinking about having sex with a man. I'm like, for what? Is he like trying to be a prostitute? Why is he thinking about having sex with a man? I just needed more information. Like, is somebody offering him a million or something? Like, why exactly is he thinking about this?
See, I didn't have that question. I got a phone call asking me, if a guy is thinking about having sex with a man, is he gay, even though he hasn't had sex with a man yet? And I was like, yeah, because he's thinking about having sex with a man. That's being gay.
And then they were like, no, you got to wait. You're not gay until you do the act. And that's when I brought up, well, if you're a virgin and you like girls, are you gay because you haven't had sex yet? You know, or are you straight? That was my, I just thought it was a weird conversation. I thought it was interesting, but I just want to get everybody's opinion and we can discuss, but we can leave it as it is. NCAA Kingpin, what you got?
I was hoping you would not call me because I am laughing so hard over here.
How do you think I feel? These were two guys who called me, and I was caught off guard. Like, why are y'all asking me this question? I thought we were closer than this.
I don't understand it. Like, I think all actions start in the heart and in the mind. So, like, if you're thinking about it, to me, you're gay, right? Like, because are you thinking about you having sex with another man or two men having sex? Like, to me, that's a homosexual transaction. And yes, like, you are gay. Like, I don't, like my friend just said, I see women all the time. I'm like, oh, I can recognize that, like, she's beautiful or, like, whatever, but I don't want to sleep with her, right? So,
right.
Yeah, that's a bit much. I think there needs to be some healing there in the sense of just admitting who you are and living your life, right? Like, no.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, yeah, you just got to admit that he's gay. Like, you know what I mean? Blue Mile, I know you're going, what you got on this, man? I hope you've been listening. But, yeah, that was the weird phone call I got this week.
You can't be halfway gay. You know, like, you are or you aren't. And the moment you start fantasizing about a guy, you've been gay for a long time.
But what if you're bisexual? Ain't that halfway gay?
No, there's no such thing as bisexual. It's called greed. You know what I mean? It's like when you go to the buffet and you're like, do you want chicken or do you want ribs? If you want both, you should be in greed. You gotta go chicken or ribs. That's sexual obesity right there. You gotta look at it.
If not bisexual, you're just greed. That's funny. Okay. Yeah, I'm getting an echo on your phone, Blue Mile. All right, so that was just a weird question I got. I don't think anybody's gotten a deep dive. It seems like we're all on the same page that, you know, once you start considering having sex with the same sex, you're probably gay. Or you're greedy, as in Brother Blue Mile would say. If you've already tapped in the other source. Blur, you got another topic before I drop another one?
Yeah, this one I brought up last week. We ain't get into it, but I don't know if anybody watches the reality show The Masked Singer. But at some point, I don't even know if they air yet, but they got Rudy Giuliani as one of the singers. And y'all know Rudy Giuliani, lawyer for Trump, I mean, and everything he did. So when he gets kicked off the show or whatever, whenever he loses, they take the mask off. And Kim Jong, the dude, little Asian dude from The Hangover, and Alan Robin Thicke, they get up and they walk off. They walk away. Now, usually the judges, they said they go back and forth with the person. Oh, I didn't think it was you. You had us fooled, yada, 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 yada. They just get up and walk off. I'm thinking, is that soft? Or was that like a boss move to just get up and walk off, say they're not going to deal with Rudy Giuliani?
PG, I'll let you go first.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think they're entitled to do that if they want to. I don't think it's soft or a boss move. I just think it's their choice, right? Sarah Palin was on Masked Singer, wasn't it? I think, or some other politician, and, like, you know, they didn't react that way. So I don't know. I feel like
that was their choice. Plus, Ken is dramatic, and he's a comedian. So, yeah, like, some of it could have been, like, you know, his comedian dramatics, too.
Okay. Small fry.
I mean, I definitely agree that I think there was probably some of it that was for the dramatics and for that the fact they knew people would talk about it and it would add more and probably help the ratings a little bit. You know, so, yeah, that's my thoughts. I haven't watched this most recent season, but, of course, I did see the updates that that happened, and I was like, oh, interesting. And then I just kept it moving.
TJ Cesar?
Yeah, I don't know.
You think it's cool for him to walk out on Giuliani?
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you. I kind of agree. It was probably more for dramatics and just the effect to say that there was someone that was on the show that someone would, you know, not have a positive, you know, excited, you know, response to once they were revealed. So I think that's kind of a little bit on the actual Masked Singer show, because I dropped off. I missed the last couple seasons, and I was hanging in there pretty tight there for a while. I don't think, you know, I mean, it's a little disrespectful, but, I mean, it's Rudy Giuliani, so he's used to that.
Is that a snort? NCAA Kingpin.
I mean, I think those types of shows, especially being, like, so scripted, like, who knows what the truth was, right? Like, that could have been a moment written in. And I can't get past that. So I feel like more than anything, it was for the dramatic effect of it all. Because who knows? They probably went to the green drink a movie together.
Oh, no, it's just a dog. She good.
Okay. New York, New York, that's your mayor, man. What you think?
Nah, I mean, I agree with PG. If that was their decision to walk off, then that was their decision. I mean, I can't blame him. I'm not sure if it was a boss move or whatever move it was, but I mean, hey, I mean, if they walked off, they walked off.
See, and I hate to be the guy because I'm not the apologist of the Republic, but I think it's stupid, you know? Like, it's a show about people who can't sing in masks and you have to guess who they are. Why? They're really the only thing, unless they were upset because Rudy Giuliani tried to sleep with a little kid and it ended up being Boris. So unless you're walking out because you think Rudy Giuliani is a pedophile, like, you just don't like his politics. That's no reason to like, that's not, the show isn't about politics. It's about terrible singers and a bunch of furries. Like, it ain't, like, I don't think it's, like, why are you walking out? Like, what statement are you making, you know? You're not doing it. You don't like his politics? Cool. So anytime we don't like somebody's politics, we can't enjoy any other space with them? Like, I think that just furthers, you know, how ridiculous this country has gotten over politics. Like, okay, we don't agree on politics. We don't agree on the public school system. We don't agree on abortion. We don't agree on, you know, reparations. That doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't some things that we can agree on. Like, why do I have to just never talk to you again? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I thought it was soft. You're right. It could just be, you know, part of the show because we don't know what's real and what's not. I'm just surprised he survived, you know, trying to unbutton his pants and sleep with Borat. I think that was the most crazy thing to me when it came to Giuliani. But, all right, Blur, what else you got?
Oh, let me say, I gotta agree with you. I do think it was soft. PG, actually, I didn't even think about this. She said, I didn't even think about this as being performative by their part. I really thought that they was, oh, they was in their feelings. They're like, nah, man, I ain't talking to this nutbag, which I kind of agree. Like, there's not many circumstances that I will voluntarily spend time with or interact with Rudy Giuliani. Now, you can say it's just politics and, you know, people can have different opinions, and that's fine.
But especially in politics where your opinion and your actions can be dangerous or at least harmful to some people, and I definitely understand people not wanting to deal with you. And I mean, I think Rudy Giuliani was in office for stop and frisk. So I can understand some people like whose families have been affected by that wanting to spit in this man's face. So, yeah, I can get that. That said, aside from it possibly being performative, I didn't even think about that. I thought it was just soft. Like, this is y'all's show. Like, Kim Jong, this is his show. Like, how you going to let somebody come in and run you off your show? Just like when Whoopi and them got up and walked off The View when the Fox News dude was there. I'm like, this is your show. This is your crib. This is your house. Like, how you going to just get up and leave because somebody there? I don't think you ever do that. So I thought that was kind of soft.
Yeah, I don't agree with just getting up and walking. Like, if you can't be in the same room with somebody, then just fight them. Like, that's the time to say, hey, Rudy Giuliani, your politics sucks and so does your singing voice. I'm glad you're the fuck out of here.
Yeah, or don't say nothing at all.
You can't
just like,
fight.
All right, cool, get out of here. You're done.
You can't fight somebody in politics. They won't get their lawyer. You done for. What you talking about? That's second degree assault and battery. That's second degree assault and battery. What you talking about? You can't just fight a politician. Oh, they going to their lawyer the first chance they get.
I mean, if you Kim Jong and you Robin Thicke, I mean, Robin Thicke might not have the money since he left that black woman. She might have took him for all his money. But, you know, if you Kim Jong, you know, hate to be racist, but you Asian. I know you got some lawyers on retainer. You're all right. You can punch Giuliani in his face. Now, he might die, so that wouldn't be good. Giuliani old. But you can fight a politician. You know, plenty of these people get smacked up. Just find that cocaine dealer. Then you really got control. I shouldn't say.
All right, question. Who has better cocaine, Robin Thicke or Rudy Giuliani?
Y'all trying to get indicted. Let's cease this conversation. Hold on.
You said let's keep this what?
Yeah, let's cease this conversation. I ain't no indictment coming over no podcast, but who got the better cocaine? How we know that? We don't know that. You don't know. Nobody selling cocaine. No, nothing. What? Nothing. Nope. I don't know nothing about what y'all talking about right now.
So did everybody get a chance to talk on the NCAA? Did I come to you yet?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. Everybody good on it? All right. I'll take that as yeah. Everybody good on it. All right. We only got about 7 minutes. I want to talk about house party rules. There was a article on the internet, and you know, you've seen these viral TikToks where these kids in college have like 1,000 kids in like an apartment building, and they're all jumping on like the second floor, and then the floor collapses, and everyone's upset, and everyone's screaming because they all think they're going to die because they fell through a foundation. And I thought about like, what are your house party rules? And I want to put you in the frame of mind of college. And I'm kind of stalling because I want y'all to really think about it. Like, if you were throwing a house party, not now at our age now, but when you were a teenager or a young 20-year-old in college, did you have specific rules for the house party? Because I know I did. If you were coming over to the house and we're having a party, I know one of the rules is you can't have sex in any of the bedrooms. There was people there, lights was off, there's a lot of hazy smoke in the air, TG was in there shaking her ass for no reason. We told people, hey, gotta respect the crib. Small Fry was in there shaking her ass for no reason. Hey, they were respectful to the crib. They could always come back and party with us. But there were specific rules. You can't steal nothing. I always felt anytime you invited a bunch of girls in college over your party, any girl who brought liquor could always get an invite back. Any girls who felt like they were too cute not to buy liquor, I would always vote not to invite them at all. So that was like my rules. Don't go in nobody's bedroom. don't mess up the toilet, bring liquor. DJ Cesar, you look like you had a whole bunch of college parties. Did y'all have any house party rules, or did you go to any party and they gave you any rules or your crew any rules?
No and no. So I don't think I've ever had a house party. I've never had a party thrown at any place that I've rented or lived in that was a large group of people that would have, like, I'm not known who the people are and they'd have to party. No, it just never happened.
Y'all was too busy in the studio being thoughts.
What studio?
Record studio. Ain't that where you met 50 Cent?
That was called the radio.
Studio?
Station.
Station studio? Are we really getting in semantics here?
Anyway. And then if I went over somebody's house for a party, I don't know.
They were lame. You ain't had no cool friends?
I didn't say it was lame. It was just I don't remember no.
No rules? Okay, well, maybe.
Not doing that. I mean, I'm respectful. It's people's houses. I don't want nobody to get kicked out. That's just me. I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I got you. You're thoughtful in that way. You wouldn't think about doing anything. Blur, did y'all have any house rules for house parties?
Yeah and no. It wasn't like any official rules, but it kind of became one. Throwing a party at my crib, my apartment, just had moved off campus. I had a girl at a time, and the people there, house was packed, but one of my friends was going in the fridge to get a drink, not one of the drinks that was already out. And my girl flipped out, was like, yo, nah, you don't go in the fridge. It's up in the fridge for the people who live here. You don't go in the fridge to get stuff. You get whatever's out here. If everything out here is gone, then you just got to be thirsty. And my homegirl, who ironically was from Harlem, she wasn't having that. She's like, nah, Blur, my fucking friend. Like, yo, he ain't even got to tell me. I'm good in this house. I go get whatever I want out the fridge. And, yeah, it went from a nice, peaceful party to clear the room. These two chicks about to wrestle. So, yeah, that kind of came like a... Nah, I mean, I couldn't let my girl fight my homegirl, so nah, we put a stop to that. I mean, some dudes almost got into a fight, though, but, I mean, that became an unofficial rule. Like, don't go in the fridge. Actually, we just started, taking stuff out the fridge, so. I mean, we brought stuff for the party, but then anything else, we just, put somewhere else.
Y'all put refrigerated items, like, in y'all bedroom? Y'all ain't catch salmonella?
Nah, well, first of all, people had mini fridges, too, even in their bedroom. But, it wasn't even, like, nothing serious. It was, like, probably, like, water. I mean, house parties be hot as hell. People be wanting water, so, we take the case of a bottle of water that wasn't for everybody else. We put that in the bedroom. Maybe some Kool-Aid, but, I mean, Kool-Aid packets weren't nothing, so.
What if someone wanted ice?
We had ice, but, like, if you wanted ice that wasn't, like, already in the pitcher. Because, we party with a lot of the Kappa. So, they had their little Kappa juice or whatever it's called, whatever it's Kappa Punch. So, if it wasn't in that, you could get some ice out the ice trays, and you better fill it back up.
Oh, okay. Well, you said no one could go in the fridge. So I was wondering, how would somebody get some ice if they can't go in the fridge? Okay.
Well, stuff out the fridge, like drinks or food or something like that. You can't be going in there eating my Pop-Tarts and, my Hot Pockets. Nah, that's got to last me the rest of the week or the month or whatever. Okay. You gonna eat this pizza or whatever? You gonna leave my Hot Pockets alone?
Okay, NCAA Kingpin, you have any house party rules?
I never had house parties. Like, y'all not coming over here?
Fancy?
I believe it at that, but no, I never. Never had house parties. I do think so. Rule would definitely be I need to know and approve who you're bringing, right? Like, because people can bring a straight killer to your house, steal your stuff, whatever. So I don't know about that too much. I was never a house party person.
Okay. Okay, you were about the guest list. PG, Small Fry. PG, Small Fry, what y'all got?
I don't remember you having any rules at
your house parties in college. But, I mean, I'm
well,
definitely
not. Well,
y'all
weren't habitual line steppers. Y'all weren't line steppers. So I didn't have to worry about you. I have to worry about small fry. There were other people that we had to have conversations with. Like, yo, if you're coming over, this is what's going to happen. And plus, you was bunned up. Both of y'all was bunned up with one of the homies, so we couldn't really give y'all rules. Like, we told the rules to y'all men. Like, y'all
boyfriends
were told,
I definitely had sex
at your
house before.
And I definitely didn't.
Yeah, I guess you did.
What?
Would you say small fry?
Small Fry said that I definitely wasn't doing any of these actions because I was in a whole different situation, all the way bunned up and not, like, in any of these extra activities. I was like, are you sure I was showing up? But then she reminded me of some things. I was like, oh, you're right. I was there.
Yeah,
but
yeah, you spotted.
Definitely in this place.
Our house parties was legendary. Ew, yeah, PG, you were having sex in the house. That sucks. That's nasty.
But I was just telling her, I was like, remember we used to play spoons?
Yep. Spoons was the joint. So y'all black schools don't understand nothing about spoons. Y'all probably just played spades and tonk.
I don't know
about no tonk, but we played spoons too, so.
New York, what's the house party rules?
Most definitely. The only house party that I ever threw was in my mom's crib, and that was the biggest mistake of my life, yo. But it was definitely some house rules, right? There's definitely some house rules. I made sure that I made all the invitations to go out to the shorties first, confirm all the shorties can come through, and then have a balanced ratio between the shorties and the guys or whatever, right? I appointed a couple of security guards. There was somebody that was working the door, letting people get in. The upstairs, well, like when you come into the crib, it's literally upstairs and the downstairs, right? So somebody was working the door. You can't go upstairs. All you could go is downstairs unless I know you personally. And those people had a personalized guest list. So there was a couple of security guards in there, self-appointed security guards in there.
It was just gang members standing at the front door.
They useful though. They useful though because it was so crazy because like in the back way of the basement, my mom's had all like hardwood floor, right? But half of that, like when you actually walk down the stairs, it was white carpet and there was a pool table right there. So we had to move the pool table. When we moved the pool table, it broke a leg off that shit, so we had to keep that shit standing. It was like a bring your own bottle, bring your own everything type of situation, but I already had liquor in the crib, stuff like that, and I had bottles right there just to make sure everybody's accommodating and stuff like that. People were spilling liquor all over the wood floor. People was all spilling, and I had white carpet at that time. I had white carpet. People were spilling liquor on a white carpet. But I made sure before the party started, I took pictures of everything where the items were, so I could put it back. So I put all the items so niggas won't steal it. I put it all in the room upstairs and everything. But then it started getting crazy. I had a smoke room in the back room, in the computer room or whatever. There was a bathroom back there. People was throwing up. They pulled the sink off the actual wall and some shit like that. So the sink was leaning. The floors were sticky. The white carpet was messed up. It was so crazy, bro. It was the first house party I ever do.
Hey, so we gotta end the show. But where was your mom at?
Oh, she was on a week vacation. She was on a week vacation.
Okay,
I was like, and it was the summer. It was the summer too, so everybody was out of the dorm. So it was like you can't throw the party in a dorm. So I was like, man, my place is the middle ground for everybody.
Bad decision. All right, fun show tonight. We got to end the night, man. It was great having all y'all on. Thanks, NCAA Kingpin. Great hearing your voice again. I hope things have been going well. We always keep in touch, man. I'm glad to see you doing so well. PG, Small Fry, great hearing y'all. Glad to have y'all back again. NCAA Kingpin, anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Thanks for having me. I'm going to playoffs next week, and so as my schedule calms down, I definitely plan on joining y'all each week.
Hey, you know you're always welcome. You're family to me. I need to call you and get some tickets, man. There's some things coming up. I need to holler at you, man. I need to bring down the wife and the kid, and we go watch some games. But we'll be in touch, man. Good hearing from you.
Y'all too. Bye.
DJC, sorry. Anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Peace out.
All right. Who we got next? We got Blur. No, let's get last from PG. PG Small Fry. Thanks for joining us as always. Anything y'all want to say before we roll?
No. Thank you for having us.
Thank
always
you.
Tonight.
Small Fry, make sure you join us more often, man. It's great hearing from you again.
I know. It was such a good time. I'll definitely make sure I call in, or I'll make sure PG contacts me to make sure that I do call in.
All right. Sounds good. Good hearing from y'all. Blur, you're up.
Great show as always, man. Thanks for having me on. It's always a blessing. Shout out to Grambling. Everybody go support your local HBCUs. Tune in to all the Grambling football games to see how this new program, how this new regime, you know what I mean, restores the glory, put the shine back on the G. And, yeah, everybody go out there and get your skin-toned iPhone cases for all you iPhone users. You can now get an iPhone case that looks like skin. Sounds like that's right up your alley.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week because it ain't black skin. New York, New York. You got anything?
Yeah, most definitely. After the cold winter, the states and everything, just make sure you check on your car. Make sure you learn how to change your brakes. It would definitely save you a pretty penny. If you can't change your tires, make sure you change, you know what I mean? You check the thread on it, you know what I mean? If you can't change the tire, you know what I mean? Take it to the shop, you know what I mean? They do it to you in a quick second. Other than that, you know what I mean? Make sure you switch the water out of your iron if you press the steam button. You don't want your garment smelling like mildew. Other than that, y'all know what I mean? Stay safe, stay competent, everything else. Just stay vigilant, everything. Y'all know what I mean?
All right, man. Hey, next week we got to talk about crackheads doing magic now. It's one of the greatest things I've seen on the internet. Until next week. Hey.